Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith in who we are. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in awe of your sovereignty over all the earth, and with humble hearts, mindful of the pains, struggles, and hopes of our world. Lord, we lift up nations torn by war and injustice, the conflict in Gaza, the war in Ukraine, the ongoing crisis in Sudan and others. We ask for your mercy to be poured out, for the innocent to be protected, and for your peace to rise where violence reigns. We pray, too, for those impacted by natural disaster and storms, displaced families, communities rebuilding, those who have lost much. Bring comfort, bring hope, bring your light into the darkest of places. Father, bless our nation, unite our people, heal our divisions, deepen our compassion for one another. Grant our leaders and citizens wisdom in difficult times, courage to do what is right, and hearts that seek the common good. For our homes and our congregation, we pray. May love reign instead of fear, forgiveness instead of anger, unity instead of fragmentation. And Lord, for every hurting and anxious mind that is here this morning, remind us that you are near, that nothing is beyond your power or outside your care. So we ask that this Sunday be a time of your presence, that we would worship you in truth, rest in your grace, and go forth in hope, carrying your peace into our world. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here today. As many of you know, last several sermons, I've been talking about courage, which is not the absence of fear. It's the action in spite of fear. Today we have a special guest that personifies this, who's exhibited great courage not only in his personal life, but on the battlefield as a Special Forces Green Beret in battles all over the world. We're so honored to have him here with us this morning. Please give a warm welcome to Greg Stubbe.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? I sure do love being here with you. This feels like home. Good to be back in Green Bay. Good to be back with you. It brings me joy to see you all here every time I come. It's not for nothing. No. Yeah, why did you come? Why are you here? I have to admit, part of my motivation for coming here is, you know, the Packers. You know, who could forget the Packers, you know, in the glory years back with Vince Lombardi, you know. It's all about the Packers today, isn't it? I want to reach out to some people that are watching around the country. Miss Sweet Vicki Lee and I, we've got people watching you every week from all over the place. And today we've got Donnie and Jill Ritchie from Florida. And if you would, on three, say hi, Donnie and Jill. One, two, three. We've also got a lady named Joyce Batts from up in Maine, eh? We call her Mom. And if you would, say, hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
There we are. Pastor Mark and I met quite a long time ago now, and we've been great friends ever since, but there's a deeper mentorship involved, and I turned to him for a lot. When we met, it was in Puerto Rico, and I was telling a story of how I was wounded in battle, And it was pretty gruesome, pretty horrific. And when he stood up to speak after me, he didn't know how he was going to be funny after that. And so the first thing he said was, apparently the only thing he had in common with me is neither one of us looks good naked. Mm-hmm. There you have it. But I noticed quickly that a bond started growing between Mark and I, and part of that surrounds the notion of courage. As a pastor, he knows about courage, and he's been curious about my understanding of courage, and I've been curious about his. And I think we've leaned on each other quite a bit. And today, I've never done this before today, and I want to focus on courage itself. I've never thought that I would be the guy to talk about that. People think I would be, but my experience doesn't feel the way people expect it might. You see, I've been afraid the whole time. And if we're going to have a real conversation about courage, then it's not complete if we don't talk about fear. Because fear is real, and fear is the one thing we have to overcome to find courage. And courage is the ability to take that next step, even though we are afraid. And we become ineffective if our fear dominates us. We have to accept the fact that we're humans, and we have emotions and feelings. And I think that these emotions, like fear, are much like risk itself. You see, you can never fully eliminate risk, can you? Risk is always going to be there around us. And we can't have a zero defects environment and be so risk averse that we're not living and we're not doing. The same thing with emotion and fear. Fear is a reality, and it should be. And I will say this, in my experience, if someone is acting like they have no fear of anything, run away. Because they are a liability to themselves and everyone around them. Because we all feel fear, and I believe firmly that we either deal with those truths about the things we feel, or there comes a time where the rubber meets the road and those things will deal with us. And I've seen people acting like they weren't afraid, and in a critical moment where you're supposed to be shooting back, you wind up in a fetal position instead. So we are nothing more than human, and that ain't very tough. Honestly, people ask me, with all you've done, you've got a couple decades as a warfighter, 23 years. You know, why aren't you more arrogant? Why aren't you more cocky and assertive? And I always have the same feeling that once you've seen the real stuff, the really hard day, after that, you know how small you are. And I think in our faith, we need to be small. Small is more survivable because small is real. Humble is real. Afraid is real. But courage is real too. And that's what we can get to if we do this right. And we got to lean on each other. So my context for speaking about this subject has evolved from years of conflict and war and wounds and surgeries, and those things you would think would be the formative things in my life. Except that, as serious as those things are, consider going to Bosnia and Kosovo after a 5-year civil war with genocide. And at that age, in my 20s, I was wearing a green beret, so I was supposed to be out there solving the world's problems. I was supposed to be the answer to everything, the guardian. But even the children in that country had more war experience than I did because they'd witnessed such horrible things. Now, I'm supposed to deal with all this killing and dying and be tough enough to sustain and survive it. But being honest, at that time in my life, even though I'd been raised in the church and I was supposed to understand by my faith the difference between mortality and everlasting life, my faith wasn't fully developed and neither was my maturity. And so at a time when I'm supposed to deal with all this worldly stuff, all this bad stuff that humans are doing to each other, it was at a time when I still had questions. Because when someone I knew would pass away, I was confused. I was sad. I was angry. I just didn't understand. Where did they go? Why? How? And then I would have natural fears about myself dying. And it's normal and it's natural. We're supposed to get beyond that with an armor of faith in God. But we're still human, and it takes work, it takes rehearsal, it takes practice. But it bothered me, why can I hear my dad's voice on the answering machine, but I can't call him anymore? And it took a lot of courage to step forward and keep doing what I was doing and be exposed to those things. Then you step forward, and I wound up in full-scale war. War, where there's more death and destruction of people you know, and it gets really personal. And what do you think we talked about in between firefights when there's killing and dying and gruesome sights and the worst things you can see on the planet? What do you think we talked about to each other? You think we talked about sports scores? I think we talked about the weather, you know, the usual small talk that we engage in every day. No, those things have no power in our lives. They're not strong. We weren't gossiping about other people, contributing to the local soap opera. Because when it gets real and serious and you're facing your fears, what you need is those core values. You need your emotional self, your spiritual self, your psychological self to be intact. And you can't do that by talking about the weather. So we were talking about the most serious things: God, family, country. And it would have sounded naive and idealistic in the break room standing around the water tank. But in the most serious moments, believe me, those are the only strong things we have. And for me, I found out the hard way, because when I was wounded, I got blown up and burned and shot. And I was in the hospital for a year and a half with 17 surgeries. And everything that I had built to be strong in this life and as a soldier failed me. It was gone. You know what I was left with? I was left with the mushy stuff, the weak stuff that I didn't even want to be a part of my personality. The things that were undeveloped would become the only things that could allow for my survival. At this point, development in my faith, development in my psyche. What are these things that we walk past every day and we don't work on them? We're going to need them. If we're going to be courageous, we better be developed in those ways. But I have to tell you, the fact that you're sitting here is evidence of courage in today's world. And I'm happy about the resurgence of Christian values. Anybody seeing that like I am? Yes. We need it all over the country. And for me, I thought that, man, if I could get through. So as much as I'd like to be exclusive about understanding courage and fear, because I'm a barrel-chested, steely-eyed freedom fighter, Green Beret, grr. Now, I'm on the bench. I'm not the warfighter anymore. I'm living a normal life, and I am astounded that life still hasn't gotten easy. I'm astounded. And isn't it true? We think that if we can just graduate high school, we'll be an adult, and automatically everyone will respect us now. Nope. Nope. If we can just get our college degree, everyone will beat down my door offering me six-figure jobs. Nope. It doesn't get easy then either. You know, you join the military, and if you can just make it through training, then you'll become a warfighter, and everything will be easy. Then you won't be a turd anymore. Nope. And then you go to war, and you're thinking, man, if I can just survive this, everything else in life will be easy. Nope. Then you get wounded. If I can just learn how to walk again and recover from these injuries, nothing will be difficult again after this. It's a lie. It's never true, is it? It's never going to be easy. This life is difficult. And I used to make fun of people that in the crisis of their life, oh, you were in a bad accident, you almost died. Oh, better get God. You better turn to faith now because you could kick off any time. Or we're aging to a point where we don't know how long we'll be here anymore. And suddenly we find God. And I used to be cynical about that, sarcastic. And then I did the same thing. And I can't make fun of that anymore. Now I say, it doesn't matter when or how you come to God as long as you do. And that faith, that faith becomes our armor. It's evidence of things we couldn't prove otherwise. But it's not easy to have faith in a world that doesn't want to believe you. Maybe there are elements that want to put you down. And you would think that I'm supposed to be brave, right? I have been afraid to admit my faith sometimes. I have been afraid to talk about God sometimes in this society. Why? Other people are not afraid to talk about what they believe in. But I certainly, now these days when I speak to any group, even though there's such wokeness and political sensitivity out there, this is what I do now to overcome my fear. I start off by saying, you may hear some Christian elements to this today. It's because I am an unapologetic Christian. And some people try to get offended by that. They try to say, you can't say that here. And I say, well, I'm not an employee, so. And you know, and I always tell people, you know, I really, really, truly suggest in the strongest way that you develop faith in something greater than yourself. Something greater than yourself. And I encourage that, and I know where it leads. There's only one place that goes, so do it. And they don't know yet, maybe. And I tell them, if you don't have faith in anything greater than yourself, then you're not really postured to serve anything, and you're not postured to lead well either. And if you don't have faith in anything greater than yourself, doesn't that mean you consider yourself the apex of all humanity? And I'll speak for everyone else and say that we're disappointed. We were hoping for more. Yeah. No, you ain't it. Trust me. We're never as good as we think we are, and other people are very seldom as bad. So for courage to take place, we have to have candor. We have to be honest about how we feel. We have to be honest about what we're thinking. We have to be able to proclaim our faith and tell the truth about things. And I've always said that an effective ministry can only come through accuracy and intimacy. Aim. You have to aim to become a better Christian, a better follower of the faith. And AIM is an acronym. I don't know if you've heard it before. It's accuracy and intimacy equal ministry. Accuracy means that we need to be rooted in the Word. We need to know what we're talking about. Understand what the Word says, what the wish for us is. Know something about the faith that you profess. Read the Bible, people. That's not hard. Read the Bible, and it's amazing what page you open up to. There's going to be something in there that you were not thinking about today, and it's going to make you richer. And you'll have that in your ammo pouch going forward. But when you learn more about the Bible, be careful, because it can make us arrogant. The more we know, the more we want to throw scriptures at people. If we're having a disagreement, Psalm so-and-so says this, and if you argue with me, you're arguing with God. We actually throw scriptures at each other sometimes like darts, and it makes people bleed. And it puts people down, and they walk away from the faith instead of coming closer. So be careful with that. We want to be intimate enough to be honest and confess that we don't know everything either. What I know, all I know sometimes, is how it makes me feel. And it's joy. And it's love, and it's safety, and it's refuge, and who doesn't want that? And then they start hearing, or we start reading together some of the reasons why. So let's build what we have and be good ministers of this faith. Part of that, unfortunately, is that we need to be knowledgeable about the world around us. We do. And I'll tell you, I was watching an academic scholar recently as he debated with an atheist. An atheist. Atheist. And the atheist said, well, I've never read that stupid Bible. I don't know anything that it says in there. It's all folly. And then the academic, the scholar says, well, you're not an atheist then. You're an idiot. Because if you're ignorant of things, how can you possibly represent them or even know that you disagree with it? And so for all of you, I encourage you, it might be painful sometimes when you see and hear things that oppose your faith and your moral courage. You hear things and see things all the time in the media and otherwise that are kind of, not in a woke way, but they stand as a polar opposite to what we believe, don't they? Don't change the channel right away. Listen, read, learn, educate yourself, understand what other people believe about other denominations, about other religions worldwide, and about people who don't believe. One of the best things I ever did was I read, as a Christian, to develop my own faith, I read a book by Richard Dawkins, and he's like the academic, he's the brains of the atheist world. And that book challenged me at every turn, because the only thing he hates worse than a Christian is an American Christian. And through that whole book, he was telling me how stupid I was to believe this and that and the other because of this, that, and the other. And for the first time in my life, I had to prove to myself through a real thought process that no, you lose, because this is actually what I believe and you just helped me prove it. So I was no longer taking what a pastor or a church was feeding me as the truth and just continuing it. It developed me, so I knew the difference. And it reminds me of intelligence preparation of the battlefield in the Special Forces. We used to study as much as we could about any opposition or operational area. I think we should do that. Now, the pastor's been on my case because I don't give scriptures all the time. Last time I was here, I haven't slept well the way he talked about me. He said, Greg, is it possible maybe you could bring the Bible into it at some point? You are in a church. And so this time, I wanted to bring a little into it. Isaiah 6:8, who will go for us? Here I am, send me. That's powerful. And it's not just in a warfare context. We are all warriors. If you think being a Christian means you have to be a wuss, you're in the wrong building. Nope, it calls on you to be a warrior. It calls on you to be a strong representative of your faith, and strength is good. Matthew 10:16, going forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. That goes back to the intelligence preparation. That means be innocent in your faith, but be wise as a serpent by knowing what's out there and having a reasonable ability to converse with people who disagree. And when they see the way you feel about it, it's going to be attractive. Yep. Thucydides was a historian. Anyone heard of Thucydides? As a redneck, it took me weeks to even learn that name. He said, a nation that draws too great a difference between its scholars and its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting done by fools. I don't think we need to be one or the other, do we? The people who are tough in life, does it mean they have to be dumb? Nope. The people who are smart, does it mean they have to be weak? I think we need a combination, don't we? Yep, I really think we do. And it reminds me, when they were putting the Special Forces together, the Green Berets, they said, who are we looking for? What kind of people do we want to recruit for this? And the answer was given, we need PhDs that can win a bar fight. Yeah, because it's a mix of all the elements. And we always need to be at least 2% smarter than we are tough. Because if you're going to be stupid, we're going to have to be tougher. There's a price to pay. So today, as we talk about courage, I want you to think about that in your own life. I want you to use more candor. I want you to tell the truth. And I want you to be intimate enough to relate about it in an honest way to each other and to people you've never met. That's where ministry begins. It takes courage. Everything in life takes courage. And our fears, well, they're real. Let's hug it out. Let's just hug it out and admit that there are things we're afraid of. But let's build the courage together through our faith to get through it, because nothing in this life is easy. I love you all. Thank you for your time. And go Packers.
Thank you, Greg. People sometimes say, how do you get these speakers? I say, if you come, I'll take you to a game. Hallelujah. So after we celebrate communion together, we're going to leave, and Pastor Becky will wrap everything up so we can get to the game. We love you all. All right. I wasn't prepared. I was listening to you. I guess that's the point. What?
I want to say something else. You see these people behind me? Wow. Just wow. It's not, you know, the important thing isn't the quality of the music, it's the message, right? But dang. Normally you got to pay for something like this. And I think it's beautiful. They're unsung heroes in the ability to worship. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Greg, and the organ player is really fabulous. All right, turning our attention to communion. Ushers are getting ready to stand back and saying, what's he going to talk about? I'm done. Come forward as we celebrate what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. His body was broken. His blood was shed so we could have and experience the forgiveness of sins. But the Bible says before we take communion, we should pause and examine our own hearts. So with those words in mind, ask you to bow your heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the wine this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we did that we shouldn't have done, something maybe we should have done but we neglected to do, if we've cowered in fear and let it freeze us from stepping out and doing what we should do, if we haven't loved our neighbors as we love ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on us and forgive all of us of our sins. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I've never really experienced what you guys are talking about. You can right now, in your own words, just whisper to Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins. And you can take a first step of faith with us here this morning. Amen.